Let's all get together at the same time. And, well,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tai Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.
So very nice altar here, with different deities. Gopal, so you see Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada pictures are Sagaswami,
Manjitanda,
and then Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, Nanda Nandana Gita. And Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. So our Krishna consciousness movement is actually conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. And he was the leaders of all the different devotees, Goswamis, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, no picture of him there. So he's the acharya of all the Goswamis. Oh yeah, Pashtapa was there, huh?
Yeah.
So he appeared 500 years ago in West Bengal along with Lord Nityananda. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahori Thao Godaide, Pushpabanto, Chitro Sando, Tamonudo. Krishnadas Kaviraj, his biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared on the eastern horizon of Gaudiya, Bengal, just like the sun and the moon, right? To bless everybody, to benedict everybody. Right? And everybody wants different things. Santa Claus comes and gives you certain things, and what else? At Halloween you can get different things. You can go to a convenience store and get different things. You can, different people are offering different things. But what benediction are Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda offering? Yeah. In India, there's some higher idea of culture, some higher goals in life. In the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Rishabhdev, he says to his sons, he's giving instructions to them, and he says, don't endeavor for that which is available to the hogs and dogs, right? Yeah? The hogs and dogs, you see in the modern world, somebody, some dog is running on four legs. You got a text number 10 probably. Yeah. There it is, yeah. Text number 10. Yeah, so Rishabhdev says, yeah. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya prittaya aparnoti na sadhu marnye yata atmano yam asanapi aklesha asa deha. This is 554 Srimad Bhagavatam. Materialists who work hard like dogs and hogs simply for sense gratification are actually mad. They simply perform all kinds of abominable activities for sense gratification. Materialistic activities are not at all worthy of an intelligent man. For as a result of such activities, one gets a material body which is full of miseries. And Prabhupada elucidates, the purpose of human life is to get out of the threefold miseries which are concomitant with material existence. What are the threefold miseries? Adhyatmik, Adhidaivik, Adhibautik. So what is Adhibautik miseries? What are some examples of miseries caused by the mind and body?
Depression.
Disease. Okay, like anthrax, arthritis, angina. Okay, A, B, botulism. What else we got? Bubonic plague. Any more B's? Beriberi. Yeah. C's?
Coronary artery disease.
Coronary artery disease. Yeah, I think more C's right off that. Chronic something or other. Catarrh. A, B, C, D. Diphtheria. Dysentery.
Depression.
E, F, G, diseases begin with G,
gout,
gonorrhea, E, A, B, C, D, G, H, HIV, yeah. So you go through this, hypertension, you go a big long list of all the different kinds of diseases that your body can get. And, it's just invariable. One time Prabhupada says that this body doesn't get diseases. This body is a disease, right? It's just like you have some cancer on your arm and you say, everybody says, oh, look at my cancer. It's a very nice cancer, So no such thing as a nice cancer. This body is a fungus growing on the soul, the mind and body growing on the soul. The soul doesn't need it at all. It's all an artificial contamination for the body. It's like washing coal. When you finally wash coal, what's left? You don't get all the blackout. Right? Yeah. So everybody knows, physical diseases are caused mostly by psychological problems, emotional stress, and you act in an improper way with your body, like that. Ananda Maya Vyasat, the soul is seeking pleasure, the soul is seeking rasa, flavor, taste, variety, novelty, right? Intelligence, integration, symmetry, organization, right? All these kind of things. But we don't get these, so therefore we turn to the senses and we try and manipulate the senses artificially to get a spiritual rasa out of the senses, which is just not possible. Yeah? It's like trying to use your your ordinary passenger car, like a Formula One race car. Doesn't work. You just burn it up. So people are not satisfied, therefore they use cocaine to stimulate the senses to get more energy, or even sugar or chilies or oil or something to stimulate more than we deserve. There's nothing wrong with gratifying the senses, but in the normal condition, what do the senses want? What is the satisfaction of the senses in their normal condition? They want something. Nothing wrong with that. What they want is okay. They want to serve Krishna, right? They want to see Krishna. They want to hear Krishna. They want to taste Krishna. The mind then integrates them. And so I remember one time I was bringing one Shastri from San Francisco to give part of the lecture, part of the program for Janmashtami in the temple in Berkeley. It's right across the bay. And I went and picked him up. He's a very nice Indian gentleman. We got back to the temple and the Abhishek was going on for Radha Gokulananda, with this big, very beautiful. And all the lights were off in the temple, and there was a spotlight on them, and it was just, and the devotees were chanting, and hundreds of devotees, and it was just, it was sense gratification, right? But it was all material sense gratification is more and more frustrating, more and more disintegrating like that. If you take a ray and you rotate it, you get a cone, right? Now a section of the cone in between those two rays is called a frustum. So frustrating means, I was thinking as I would get older, I would accomplish my goals, but every year I get farther and farther away from what I wanted to do, and more and more incapable. I become frustrated, like that, frustrated. Yeah? So material sense gratification is frustrating, whereas material sense gratification, the Bhagavad Gita says that every moment all the organs are increasing in enlightenment. It's more and more enlightening, more and more integrating. Everything is making more sense. Everything is coming together in a more and more integrated fashion. Chit, like that. So material life, we're trying like this to gratify our senses and use the body to get this rasa, which is in relationship to Krishna. Right? As Krishna's servant, as Krishna's friend, as Krishna's parent, as Krishna's lover, or as Krishna's admirer. But in this material world, we're trying to get it with the, external energy, like that. And so this is also available to the hogs and dogs. The dog is running on four legs, right? He's looking for some food to eat, something everywhere. When he gets that, then he's looking for some pleasant relationship with the opposite sex. Like that. And after he has that, he wants to find some place to sleep, and defend himself. So eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And this is, but the human dog is running on four legs looking for this. And Prabhupada says a human being is driving on four wheels looking for the same thing. whistling out of his car at the girls. Hey, honey, mamacita. But he's a dog. He's a dog. He's a two-legged dog with a little different haircut. But he's basically just a dog looking for the same things. So if all these kind of things are available to the dogs and the hogs, why do we work so hard for these things? This is Rishabh Dev's advice, here. People who make their whole life trying to struggle for these things. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va. Lord Chaitanya summarizes the same thing in the Shikshastakam. Nadanam, I don't want. Najanam, followers. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim.
Beautiful.
Very beautiful and obliging wife. Kavitam va. Probably missed that one. Or these things described in beautiful poetical language, like that. That's what people do, advertising people. They take the same thing. How many names are there for perfume? The names they have for perfume, right? These, passion. Black eyes. I see them sometimes, always strange names like that. But it's all the same thing, but it's kavitam. Finding, describing in poetical language like that. And it gets so complicated for the mind to become involved in this and expecting that and waiting for that, will happen like that, what will happen. But it's all just the same thing, sense gratification. And in the end, what's wrong with it? First feature, sat, it's not eternal. It's finished. It's over. It doesn't matter how nice the book is. When it's finished, it's over. Like that, and you're depressed, you know. Yeah. And again, it's not integrating. At the end of this material sense gratification, you know more things, than you did when you started. They're not integrated. Like now, you have more things to worry about. Is it trying to fit together? More frustrated desires. Here's a half-fulfilled desire. Here's a half-fulfilled desire. I want to put them together and put all my energy in one place and become satisfied. But no, I have to take care of my family, my car, my house, my job, my nation, my body, my ambitions, my desire. And it keeps increasing. Until finally we just get, psychology is explaining that it becomes more and more difficult as you become older to try and integrate all these things, because there are more and more things happening to try and make them all fit together. You know? When you're a child, it's very simple. Life's pretty simple, so in some ways you're enjoying. But as you get, so finally you just have to die. You're happy to die, to get rid of all these different things that all go nowhere. Right? Yeah. So it's temporary. It's full of confusion, and what else? It's unpleasant. It's not happy. Prabhupada explains in material life, we're always being confronted with different experiences that have nothing to do with us. Right? Nothing to do with us. One time somebody asked me, which do you prefer more, 2-door or 4-door cars?
Misery.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, well, then my intelligence kind of grabbed control of my mind and said, neither one. I say, I don't like cars. You know? Yeah, what does a car have to do with me? A car is for transporting your body. Right? Walt Whitman, American poet, he said that the body travels in this life, but the soul travels much, much farther. Like that. It can. Yeah? But usually, he's going from place to place. You know? Where is the death rate higher, in India or America? It's the same in both, one each. Yeah. Oh, I was taking off one time from San Francisco Airport going to Mexico City, and near the airport was this big advertisement for some airline that said, "Fly to Mexico," you know? And so I got to Mexico and got off. We're leaving. There's this big advertising. It says, "Go to San Francisco." I just came from there. You know? But then, we're sensitive to these things. Someone said, "Well, maybe check it out. Maybe it's like this." And you start looking at it. First time I went to New York, I was going through Tennessee, actually. And somebody said, "Oh, you're going to New York. Have you gone before?" I said, no, New York City, many years ago. And he said, "Any time at all, just stop and smell. And it'll smell bad." So I kept remembering that during the 1 week I was there. It was a fact. Every single time I stopped and smelled, it was some kind of disagreeable odor like that. So therefore, I accepted his hypothesis. So okay, the Bhagavatam is suggesting, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these philosophers are suggesting different hypothesis. I guess a hypothesis, proto hypothesis. And the first one is everybody, Buddha, Socrates, Jesus, Ramanuja, Shankara, who else we got? Jaimini, Hastavarga. The only guy who doesn't kind of agree with this, well, even what's his name? The big hedonist. Charvaka Muni. He said, "Beg, borrow, or steal, and get ghee." Because when you die, it's all over anyway. You know? Yeah. So even he was accepting in the end, it's not very, life, one kind of common statement to clean up the language a little bit, it says, life is miserable, and then you die. Right? Life is horrible, and then you die. It's like that's the whole thing. It was terrible, and the conclusion after that is I die. You know, but this is what everybody's saying. You know, name one happy Vedic lady. Did Sita have a happy life? Did Radharani have a happy life? Did Draupadi have a happy life? Did Kunti have a happy life? Did Gandhari have a happy life? Sati. Is there one? Did Romeo and Juliet have a happy life? You know the story? That's the most famous story in the whole Western world, love story, is Romeo and Juliet. How does it end? Huh? He's dead. She's dead. Her brother's dead. His best friend is dead. Everybody's dead. And that's the happiest story in Western romance. So then begin to appreciate, you know, marriage. One time one girl, maybe a devotee, and she was like maybe, I don't know, 27 or something, she said, probably looked at her at the Sunday feast and said, who do you love more, Krishna or your husband? You know? And she was kind of looking, she was just thinking about it, and she realized she didn't love either one. I love Krishna or my husband. Yeah. Yeah, that's marriage. Marriage is the best use for a bad bargain, you know. Yeah. The best thing is not to get involved in it at all. Just, you know, and marry Krishna. Right? Get married to Krishna. You know, say Krishna as your friend. Then everything becomes integrated. The relationship is never ending. It can never be broken. It just goes on developing, developing, developing. You know? And it always, everything makes more sense with Krishna. Why how things are happening, what's going on like that, who is he? You know? And ultimately then there's the opportunity for, you know, for real happiness, you know, in the relationship like that. You know? So in the beginning, you know, Shabdev is telling his sons, Nunan Pamata Kurutevi Karma, Yad India Pitaya Aparnoti, Nasarumanye Yata Atmano Yam Asana Piklesha Da Asadeha. Materialists who work hard like dogs and hogs simply for sense gratification, yes, the material sense gratification, are actually mad. Mad. They perform all kinds of abominable activities simply for sense gratification. Materialistic activities are not at all worthy of an intelligent man, for as a result of such activities, one gets another material body, which is full of miseries. The purpose of human life, the Prabhupada says, is to get out of the threefold miseries, which are concomitant with material existence. Unfortunately, fruity workers are mad to earn money and acquire temporary material comforts by all means. Therefore, they risk being degraded to lower species of life. Materialists foolishly make many plans to become happy in the material world. They do not stop to consider that they will live only for a certain number of years, out of which they must spend the major portion acquiring money for sense gratification. Ultimately, such activities end in death. Materialists do not consider that after giving up the body, they may become embodied as lower animals, plants, or trees. Thus all their activities simply defeat the purpose of life. And not only are they born ignorant, but they act on the platform of ignorance, thinking that they are getting big material benefits in the shape of skyscraper buildings. Big cars, honorable positions, and so on. The materialists do not know that in the next life they will be degraded, and that all their activities simply serve as parabhava, their defeat. This is the verdict of the next verse by Rishabhdev. Next he says, parabhavas tabad abodajata. One should therefore be eager to understand the science of the soul, atma-tattva. Unless one comes to the platform of atma-tattva, by which one understands that the soul and the body, that the soul and not the body, is oneself, one remains in the platform of ignorance. So how many people here have realized that you aren't the body? People here, how many people here have given up gambling? Okay. Smoking. Drinking water, breathing, thinking, understanding, being. Yeah. This is, you know, the senses have a hierarchy. Yeah. And above the, giving them up, you know, they fall back into one after another. The water falls into the earth, falls into the water, water falls into color falls into feeling. Feeling falls into the sound, and the sound then goes into the mind, like that. The mind thoughts then fold into our understanding of things, and the Buddhi, and that folds into our existence separate from Krishna, like that. And then we go out, and we can turn around and go to Krishna like that. You know? So different people on different levels. You know, Janis Joplin, you know, she was a famous singer and stuff like that. So she said she had a she said one song she was singing about how she got up in the morning, had a little bit of a beer to get going, and then after that, about 10 o'clock in the morning, had a little Southern Comfort, which is kind of like a kind of sweet rum. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she started drinking a little bit harder with a little whiskey and like that. And people like this. You may not think this, but there's a whole culture of this kind of like existence like that is going on, always intoxicated in some kind of work, low-class work, hellish work. In factories and places like that, you have to be intoxicated to deal with this stuff. Anybody here ever work in a factory? He used to work in Sonic. Cooking every day, he got burned, right, and cut. I was working for a Swedish cabinet maker, and the guy was a little bit of an alcoholic, not much, a little bit. But he had a small shop, and he was getting stuff done, making some money here and there, because he had a lot of friends who were architects. And he would do like the model home. Maybe you have like a 200 unit condos, and there's four models you can choose from. So we would make those four models, and after that, and we need 100 of these, 75 of these, 25 of these, and 35 of these. Okay, then they would go to the production shop, and they would just turn them out like that. So he had this kind of like custom stuff he was doing, And we had to cut these big pieces of wood, like, cross angles, and the blades were like this big, and there was no guard on the blade, so I was pulling the blade was right above my arm like that. And it could have bucked at any time and just, cut me. And then because he was running a small place, he had to hawk. He had to go to the pawn shop and turn in his drill press to get money to buy the other tool back. And we finished that when we take it back and forth, It was like... it was a factory. You had to wear these double respirators because the kind of chemicals we're using for the big signs and stuff was so caustic, it would just, destroy your lungs. And even still, you felt like, afterwards. So, more high-tech people here, But most people aren't like that, even if it's not in America, other countries. They're carrying on this kind of work like that. 25 cents a day to manufacture, shirts in China and places like that, on and on. So all these different levels, of existence. So anyway, Janis Joplin said she went to her black doctor and was telling her, she said, doctor, I think I'm drinking too much. And he said, honey, you're doing just fine. that's the culture. That's the, kids start drinking at, what age here? About 12 years old. In the inner cities where it's heavy like that, children start drinking wine coolers, which is wine, carbonated wine, at about like 12 years old, carrying guns to school, belonging to clubs, selling drugs amongst themselves. And then in heavy areas, eating barbecue pork chops, with sauce, heavy sauce, and drinking whiskey. And they grow up like that. Their whole lives are absorbed like this. Okay, so somebody decides to stop drinking hard alcohol and stop eating red meat. Maybe somebody here has gone through that. I think I did at one point. Okay, no more red meat. I know one devotee, his sister finally took this vow. She wouldn't eat anything that had eyes. I think she was eating oysters at that point. And sausage. See, sausage doesn't have eyes. Bacon doesn't have eyes. But yeah, it's going up. And finally, maybe you come to sadhana bhakti. You're following some actual process of bhakti with austerities and tapasya and vratas and jap and controlling your mind, trying to get out of this gross consciousness, absorption and gross thoughts. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he says sadhana bhakti is a cheating process because he's in a platform so much higher, a spontaneous, emotional love of Krishna, like that. So here he's recommending, he goes through everything from the gross materialists to the regulated materialists. They follow Socrates, they follow Confucius, they follow the Bible, they follow, the Bhagavad Gita, the Manu Samhita, right? And to regulate their sense gratification. But in the end, it always has some negative aspect to it. Even if you follow the rules and regulations, for example, marriage, the greatest gratification for the senses is to associate with the opposite sex. Men are like gasoline, and women are like fire. Okay, it's great. But if you don't combine it together nicely, you get all this violence, anger, frustration, divorce, murder, all these horrible things, going on. But if you combine it nicely, like in an automobile, a little spark, big controlled iron container. Oh, it's very nice. But even still, there's some kind of bad experience in this. Pingala. The Bhagavatam is discussing one courtesan, Pingala. And she says, and she knows, the greatest material happiness is frustration. Right? Because then you remember what you were trying to get, what you never got. And then you can, in your mind, think about, oh, that would have been nice, that would have been nice. But as soon as you actually get it, yeah, that's all there is. you become depressed. Like that. In my desire, I have no satisfaction, and in my accomplishment, there's no desire. And it's just, gosh. I mean, so many people, they go through the university education, they work so hard, they get the degree, and they're sitting under the degree and wonder, was it all worth it just to get this? Yeah, so many things. Alexander, everybody. Yeah. So this is the karmis. They follow the rules and regulations, and therefore they see, no, there's nothing in this world worth it. The supreme karmi, one of the supreme karmis is Arjuna, right? In the beginning, he wanted to enjoy himself. He wanted to conquer his enemies. He wanted righteous revenge. Oh, yes, wow. Every year, when the new movies come out, there's a few revenge movies. The housewife who finally gets revenge for all of her torment from her husband and her children, or the teacher who's harassed by his students, like this and that. It goes on and on like that. But revenge, vacho vega manasa krodha vega, is one of the greatest satisfactions, especially when you deserve it. So nobody can criticize Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Bhima. They deserved, to get even with these guys. They've tolerated every single possible way. They tried to make every solution. And through the whole thing, the impetus is Draupadi, right? When they tried to harass her, and then she undid her hair afterwards, what are you doing? She says, I'm a widow. I haven't got any husbands. If I had a real man for a husband, he would have protected me. Yeah. So she was, pushing them, right? Pushing, for this revenge. And in the end, Arjuna's thinking, okay, now, it's a fact, she deserves this. No person deserved to be insulted like she was insulted, or treated like she was treated. So at the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, he's thinking, let me fight this battle, conquer all these rascals, and take their crowns back and dump them at Draupadi's feet. And she'll be happy and tie her hair up. Yes, my woman's happy with me, I pleased her. One time one man was walking on the beach in Los Angeles, and he hit something in the sand. He pulled out, it was a brass lantern, like that. And it was kind of covered with some stuff, so he started rubbing it. And what do you think happened?
A genie popped up.
A genie came out. He said, what is it? Oh my God, Kali Yuga. Okay. He said, all right, it's Kali Yuga, one wish, and you can't wish for any more wishes. What do you want? So the guy's thinking, wow. He said, wow, genie. He said, I've always, since I was a little child, I don't know why, but I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. But the problem is I haven't gone because I miss airplanes and boats. I get sick, really sick, and so I can't fly, I can't take a boat. Do you think you could actually make a highway from Los Angeles to Hawaii? So Jeannie's thinking about it. He's like, highways, pylons, structural engineer, like cement, all this kind of stuff. Well, I said, wow, that's difficult. It's okay. Tell you what, ask for something else like that. The man's thinking, well, okay, I understand. He's thinking, well, look, I've been married 15 years, and I've never really been able to satisfy my wife. Do you think you could arrange this so my wife would be satisfied with me? The genie's thinking about it, he says, now, how many lanes did you want for that highway? And you can put it the opposite direction too. A woman tries her best to cook properly, take care of the house, present a nice appearance. The husband will never, because we're not some problem, a deep problem like that, a material relationship like that. So we're trying to get advice. Someone's trying to go up. And we understand, okay, even in this material relationship, even Arjuna, right, even still, he was seeing this, because Krishna put him right in front of Bhishma and Drona. Then he could see, this is karma. If I fight and I win this battle, then Bhishma and Drona are going to die. And Bhishma, loves me more than anything. Drona loved Arjuna more than he loved his own son. Taught him everything he knew, so how could he kill him? But that's karma. if Draupadi's going to tie her hair up, a lot of other women are going to, after the Bible, let their hair open, because they won't have any sons or fathers or husbands like that. So that's karma. It's all zero. You turn away from Krishna, you turn away from everything. So, if I have $100, that means somebody else lost $100. You know, if it's good to experience a nice warm day in the winter, that's because I've been suffering because it's been cold the last few days. Otherwise, it has no meaning. It's all relative pleasure and relative suffering. So we're trying to get some kind of rasa from this material relationship.
Well, which is better, 2-door cars or 4-door cars?
They're all miserable. Junk. Yeah. So he talks about it. Karmis, you know, vikarmis, any old damn thing. Karmis, they're decent people. And because they're trying to follow the rules and regulations, they'll begin to understand what is this world. They'll become...
Huh?
Yeah, jnanis. It's like Arjuna. He became a jnani. He became a wise man. It's not worth it. And he just renounced it all. You know, go away from it all. Like that. Yeah? Then he says, Bahunam jamanam ante gyanavan mam prapajante. Why?
Vasudeva
sarvam iti. Oh, so it's not very common. Yeah, so very... You know, why? Oh, if your philosophy is so good, why don't so many people accept it? Because this is a prison, right? Why are there so many sick people in this place? Because it's a hospital. Why are there so many thieves here? Because it's a prison. Yeah? Yeah? So that's why it's very rare. Krishna says, you know, Sarva, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Sa Mahatma, Su Durlabaha, Su Durlabaha. Not just Durlabaha, but Su Durlabaha. I mean, one person like Socrates stands out for over 2,000 years in Christ. You know, a few people like that. Yeah? A few people. Yeah? So it's very rare to find somebody who actually has realized this whole material world is not worth it. Yeah? You know, it's give it up. There's nothing worth fighting for here, worth killing, worth striving, worth working like a hog or a dog. Right? There's a famous story that one man was, you know, kind of sitting under a tree, just... you know, resting, looking at things. And when an Englishman came along and said, what are you doing there, you lazy fellow? You know, he said, it's harvest time. And everybody's taking on people to help them with their different harvests like that before the rains come. So you can get a good job easily. Why waste your time here? The man said, well, what would I do with a job? He said, you make good income, make some good money. Well, what would I do with the money? Well, then you have leisure time. to sit and do what you wanted to do. I said, well, I'm already doing that. Yeah. So this is a common theme again and again. You know, Alexander the Great was going to go conquer the world, right? He was going to conquer the world. You know, the whole world stood in, you know, in fear of Alexander. But before he left, he went and saw his friend, was it Diogenes? It was one of those guys, it was Diogenes. And Diogenes was trying to find his friend Diogenes, who was a philosopher, you know, a jnani. And so it's a very, very famous painting of this, many copies of it. So Diogenes was just staying down in the city dump, because, you know, discarded things were thrown there. He could go find some clothes, easy like that, you know, and different things. And actually he found like a very kind of convenient trash can, you know, he was kind of staying in, because it had, you know, when the rain would come, you know. And it was an old dog who couldn't take care of himself, so he was also keeping the dog there with him. So Socrates is looking, and people say, yeah, he's over there. You know, the guys who are managing the dump, you know. So he went over there, he knocks in the trash can, you know. And Diogenes opens it up and says, ah, Alexander, hi, how are you? And, like that, you know. And he says, well, wait, why'd you come to see me? He said, well, I'm going to go now. And he started telling all of his plans to conquer the world and do all these things. And Diogenes is listening. And he starts talking to the dog. And he said, just listen to this idiot. Right? He's the king, the undisputed king of all of Greece, all of Attica. Undisputed king amongst all these people. But that's not enough for him. He's going to conquer Macedonia, and he's going to go over and head for Troy, and after that for Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. You know, he's going to cause all this problem for all these people who are living in peace like that. You know, and he's this undisputed king over the entire kingdom. You know, whereas you and I, right, are sharing this garbage can, and we're satisfied with this garbage can, the two of us, I'm talking to the dog. And he said, probably, if we had to, we'd probably even put Alexander in here too, if we had to, like that. This guy is so crazy, you know. So he just puts the lid back on the garbage can. And so the painting shows Alexander with all of his plumes and everything else standing in this garbage dump with fire coming in the background and smoke from, you know, burning the trash like that. Just kind of looking at this garbage can, this garbage can, thinking, you know, is he right? Like that. Maybe he's right. You know? So many right philosophers give us this hint, you know, live simply. Okay, you know, don't. On the other hand, don't try and just renounce everything artificially, because Arjuna also teaches us that level. He just wants to walk away from everything. Yeah, but he also realizes that he's intelligent. That also is not going to work. I can't stop myself from acting. He's a big, powerful kshatriya. He has to do something. He has to, you know, he's just. One time we were at our Manipur program. We were traveling with artists from Manipur. And we had martial artists, drummers, dancers, musicians. So we did a show in Laguna Beach. It was a big show. We finished off like about 9:30. And went back to the temple, and they had prasad ready for all the devotees and everything else for taking prasadam. And some real kind of intoxicated, you know, crazy guys came to the temple door and they were banging on it, and they wanted, demanded this and that and feed us. And they, you know, the devotees kind of push them out, and this kind of fight developed at the front door. So some people were jumping up and running over to help, and everybody's face was full of anxiety, you know. But our two martial artists also jumped and stuff and started heading over there, and they were smiling. Yeah, a good fight, you know, like that, yeah, you know, at last. You know. So everybody has their opportunity, you know, and you can't give it up, right? Arjuna realizes that. I can't just walk away from this because I haven't really got vigyan. I got some, yeah, I know I should minimize. I know I shouldn't artificially try and provoke people for fighting like that. I know it's not going to have a good result. But still, I have my dharma, my nature, you know. So as you go on developing your jnana, it becomes vigyana. And you really realize, you know, that ultimately the ultimate karma is karma yoga. That's the best thing. Not to try to renounce it, but try to use it for Krishna. You know, sacrifice everything for Krishna. You know? And that's the basic level of Bhagavad Gita. It discusses more, but that's the real focus there. Is this, do your tasman sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmaran yujacha. Do your duty. Engage in your yuja. Right? And everybody has to understand what is their dharma. In the second chapter, he gives a basic idea, but it's not detailed enough for him to practically apply it. So in the third chapter, he starts to give some practical application. Very practical, right? You know, who can deny it? All living beings subsist upon food grains.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, some people live on air.
No, basically all living beings, they live on grains, things like that. And grains come from?
Rain.
And rain comes from?
Sacrifice.
And sacrifice comes from? Your prescribed duty. And prescribed duty comes from?
Your nature.
No. Yeah, everybody misses that. That's why he's, you know. Yeah, from Brahman, from the scriptures. And they describe this. They're not inventing something. They're just describing how it works. Right? You see these kshatriyas in the military like that. They have these tattoos like, you know, pain is fear. No, fear? How's it go? Pain is fear escaping from the body. Like that. You know, kill them all and let God sort them out. You know, they always, you know, death before dishonor. You know, they have all these kshatriya dharma. Okay. You know. They live fast, die young, and have a good-looking corpse. That's a kshatriya idea. Just enjoy the prettiest girls, you know, pleased with you, and the best cars, and yeah. You know, when the time comes, yeah, when your time comes, go out and face the enemy, and you know, Victoria Station. This true story. They made a movie out of it. In Africa, the British were there. One surveyor with a couple of assistants, one captain. And one captain with a company of soldiers, military soldiers, and they were at one changing station where the horses would come and rest for the night, and you know, next day the people would go on. It's a little inn in the middle of the highway, between here and there. And they were there, and then suddenly this big group of Watusi warriors, they're very famous. Even now, nobody's conquered them. They've contained them, but nobody ever conquered them. It's funny, they were coming back from having annihilated an entire regiment of British soldiers like that in one battle, heading back home. And they saw down below this, you know, some British soldiers there, you know, so then they were attacking. And then the engineering guy had dynamite put out and exploded, and the military captain, the infantry guy had his soldiers there, and they were fighting him off for the second day, first day, and, you know, just barely throwing them back, and then the second day, and, you know. And so then on the morning of the third day, there's nothing. They wake up and there's nothing. It's quiet, and they think, oh God, okay, you know. So then the captain calls for roll call, and all the soldiers come out, and they're standing there, and the two captains are facing the soldiers, and they're asking, you know, okay, Private so-and-so, present, you know, Corporal so-and-so, lying down, you know, wounded, Private so-and-so, dead, Private so-and-so, dead, Corporal so-and-so, wounded, lying down, private, you know. And it's like everybody's dead or wounded, and then sergeants are starting to respond slower and slower. And they're staring like that with their mouths falling open. And the two captains turn around and look. And on the hill behind them, the ridge, there's just hundreds and hundreds of these Watusi warriors just lined up on the ridge like that, And they're looking at them. And they start to beat on their shields. Oh, Mani Padme Hum, wah, wah, do, do, do. Guys are looking at them, patches across their eyes, trying to stand up. And one of the captains said, oh God, haven't they done enough like that? And so then they're kind of getting ready, and then the translators just start, this is a true story. The translator starts laughing hysterically, you know. They say, what is it? What is it? What is it? So he calms down, he says, what they're singing is that it is very rare in life to meet such brave warriors as you. And it has been a great honor to have been defeated in a battle by you. And so now we're going to go, but someday we hope again to meet you on the battlefield, like that. And they all touch their spears to the ground and walk away. Kshatriya Dharma. Doesn't really matter so much who wins. Yeah, that's important, but it's how you win. That's the real Kshatriya spirit. You know, there's no victory without honor, right? That's a real Kshatriya motto, Kshatriya Dharma. And if you do that, follow your Dharma as a woman. Women have different Dharma than men, right? Kshatriyas have different Dharma than Brahmins. Yeah, and it's a combination. People, Dronacharya was a Brahmin, but with a Kshatriya's tendency, you know. So you got to find out what is your particular nature. You have to do that. And then you discover Dharma. Of course, basic ideas are there. Socrates gets basic ideas. Jesus gets basic ideas about don't lie, don't cheat, and different things like that. But there are many details. And once you understand those, then you can do karma yoga. Right? Sacrifice the results to Krishna instead of your karma. And then you become a jnani. You understand things from a very profound level. You know, always looking for what is matter and what is spirit. That's the jnani's endeavor, to distinguish matter from spirit. You know, is my mind material or not? You know? One time we were in a temple in Miami, and I gave a lecture like this in the evening, and weekday, and some devotees there. It was a kind of warm day. So one boy came in from the neighborhood, one young man, he was listening. He'd come to temple several times. He used to stop by, he kind of knew the devotees, and would come to Sunday feast sometimes. So afterwards, he told me, he said, last night, I went to the Pink Flamingo with my girlfriend, Juana, and we were dancing and drinking and eating wonderful things until 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was a very spiritual experience. Yeah, is that spirit? They call them spirits, right? Yeah. Well, that's a question. Or my grandmother, she can tell the weather. She can tell if it's going to rain or not. You know, she talks to spirits. You know, no, people get different ideas. People take the subtle level, the psychological level. You know, there's a very famous movie called What Dreams May Come. You have seen that? Robin Williams. He got awards. It's a nice movie. He and his wife were very close. He had these different things happening. Their children both died in an auto accident that he died. And he woke up someplace, you know. There was someone there to help him, orient him, like that. And basically where he was Pitri Loka. It's a realm, it's a world, it's a loka, you can go there. And you go, and the Mormons are really aiming for this. Jehovah's Witnesses, to some degree. And then he found his daughter, and he found his son, and they were all like in different positions like that. And it was a very celestial place because they'd been good people, you know. And it was work, he liked that. And he said, he asked this guy, he said, but where is God in all this? And the guy said, he's up there, you know, somewhere, and trying to tell us that he loves us, and wondering why we can't listen. I thought, okay. Now, meanwhile, where's my wife? So, there's some knowledge of these things, but it's not like they don't understand yet. So he tried to find his wife. He had to go to hell to get his wife. And they decided they would take birth again in the material world and meet each other again and finish off this thing. And this is Tarasa. Tarasa was sense gratification. In material consciousness, my wife means sense gratification. But like this, and like that, and like this. A little poetry, a little cooking, a little this, a little that. You know, my husband, the same thing. You're just dealing with the body. You know? So different levels. You know? And these jnanis begin to really distinguish what is matter and what is spirit. Forget these celestial pleasures, these Star Wars and Harry Potter and all these stories, Romeo and Juliet. What is the real soul? What is eternal? It's all these things come to an end. You know? I was one time, it was Franco Zeffirelli, he did Romeo and Juliet in a modern thing like that. It was good, well done. And I went and saw it, it was in university. I wasn't even high school, it was high school, yeah, with one of my friends. And it was like a matinee, so it was cheaper, you know. They were showing it like, I think, five times in the day. And these three girls were hiding behind the seats, you know, and watching it again and again so they could cry. Watching it like that. See, I've seen it three times, with a high one more time and watch it again. You know? But yeah, that rasa comes to an end. You don't want it to, but it's just, you know, well, you hate to admit to yourself that the thrill is gone. My new car is becoming old, you know. My new marriage is becoming old. You know? We have to find some new way to rejuvenate our marriage. Yeah, if you're married to Krishna, okay. But a material consciousness is always diminishing. Jnani. What is spirit? What is eternal and ever-increasing in happiness? Tapo divyam, Rishabh Deva says. Don't strive for the pleasure of the hogs and dogs. Undergo austerities for divine life, which is ever-increasing and eternal in happiness. Tapo divyam. So his jnanis are going for that, right? Yeah. Walt Whitman, I always quote him, he's an American philosopher. He said, life is a spiral, a road. I meet the same people again and again, the same situations. I go through them again and again in life. I had to face the same moral test when I was a young man. Now I'm 40 years old, I'm going through it again, like that. It's a spiral, a road, but each time higher and higher. He said, life is a road. Where does it go? I don't know, but it goes someplace good. Yeah. So what is he? Karmi? He's a jnani. He knows he has to do austerities. He knows it's going up. Brahman. The light of the sun is there. I can see it. I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's coming. Every second we go, it's becoming brighter. Yeah. And then finally, after that, become a yogi. High-class jnani. Vimukti jnani. Liberated. You're no longer influenced by these material things like that. Yeah? No longer influenced. The Stoics. You know the Stoics? Greek philosophers, Stoicism, the Stoics. They were these kind of Tyagi-type jnanis, Jada yogis. There was one Greek general. He was a very powerful philosopher also, a Stoic. They would undergo all kinds of austerities like these Jada yogis. So the Romans captured him. And they had him in a tent there. It was cold. There was this big brazier walk full of hot coals to keep the tent warm. And they came and they said, all right, General Antiparus, guess that joke, General Antiparus, or Clophises, unless you tell us all about the Greek army and where they are and all these kind of things, we're going to torture you, you know. So he just took his arm and stuck it right into the hot coal and said, you're going to torture me? Well, maybe we'll bribe you instead. Because principles are higher than my body. And finally, this endeavor for the truth. Yeah. So these yogis, they distinguish these things. Yeah. And then what? You begin to realize the Paramatma. Yeah. That yeah, there's I'm an Atma, I'm different than this body, but where are my ideas coming from? What's maintaining me? What's maintaining this universe? There also is another Atma. a jivatma and a paramatma. And you actually can experience this. And he's willing to reciprocate with you at every moment. One man was looking at the history of his life. He went to the higher level. And he saw his life like, you know, footprints in the sand and different things he'd gone through, rough areas, nice areas like that. But sometimes, you know, there was only one set of footprints. Because usually there was his set of footprints and God's footprints were also there with him, you know, going with him like that. He saw that. You know, God was always with me. But sometimes there's only one set of footprints, and he actually noticed that's when things were the toughest. And then, you know, and then he kind of a little bit hurt. And he said to God, you know, the Paramatma, the Holy Spirit, he said, "You were always there with me, but actually when things were the toughest, you know, you left me, you abandoned me," like that, you know. And God's laughing. He said, "There's only one set of footprints when things got tough, because that's when I had to carry you." Mm. Right? Yeah. So you begin to have this feeling, right? That there's somebody with me who's really so kind. I don't deserve this. I deserve to have my rear end paddled, you know, or whatever it is for what I did. But he forgave me. You know? So then how can I not forgive other people? You know? So you begin to start to have these personal relationships, but not like in this world. I mean, this is a different kind of mercy. And it's a different kind of humor. You know, there's nobody more funny than God. You know? Yeah, when he wants besides to be, you know, play. So many things that seem very serious, or I can't understand the Bible and stuff, is because God has a sense of humor. Anybody ever seen a zebra can figure that God has a sense of humor. What's this like? It's a four, camouflage. They didn't camouflage anybody. They throw a thumb, you know. Yeah, different things. And he has a sense of artistic ability. Yeah. And so then you go up, you become a devotee, you know, surrender to Vasudeva. And out of those people, some actually perfect the process. They get advice, they follow the bhakti yoga process. Muhammad, he gives a sadhana. Christ gives a sadhana. Ramanuja, you know, Chaitanya. And you actually become liberated. You actually begin to develop some relationship with God, become pure devotee, always with Krishna. And out of those, you know, some of them are more intensely related, like with, you know, in Ayodhya or with Varaha, Lila avatars. Then out of those, some are actually Brajavasis, Brajabhaktas. And then there's spontaneous love for Krishna. It goes beyond all rules and regulations, all respect. The cowherd boys, they just think Krishna is an ordinary kid like themselves. Sometimes he does unusual things. Well, but everybody has mystic powers in the Dwapara Yuga. So is Krishna a demigod, or who is he? You know, one time Krishna is giving milk to the yogurt, to the monkeys. And Mother Yashoda comes in and he says, "What are you, Kanai? What are you doing? You know, get these monkeys out of here. You know, yogurt to the monkeys." You know? And he's a little baby, a little boy. And he says, "Oh, Mata, in my previous lifetime, these monkeys did so much service for me. They sacrificed everything. But I was in the forest at that time, and I couldn't pay them properly. You know, but now I'm very rich, and I have all this yogurt. You know, and so I have to pay them." And just look and see how they're coming so eagerly with their hands out to receive their reward like that. You know? And so Mother Yashoda is looking at Krishna and thinking, "Who is this kid?" Yeah. So, but it's not quite sure. Even Krishna actually is not quite sure if he's God or not in Vrindavan. You know? Uddhava's going to go there and save the gopis and the Vrishvasis by giving them Brahma Gyan. So they'll be beyond all separation and human suffering. Because they're all suffering in separation from Krishna. And Krishna's worried about that. They'll die in separation from him. Uddhava says, "Send me. I will give them Brahma Gyan. I will enlighten them that they aren't the body and all these personal relationships are just ephemeral and they'll become free from this distress." You know, and so Krishna's looking at Uddhava and kind of smiling. He says, "Well, I don't know, Uddhava. Even when I go there, I fall in the bodily conception of life, that I am this body, I am the son of Yashoda and Nanda, and no, Krishna, I'm very strong, I'll, you know, fix them like that, you know, or I'll save them." You know? So he goes and he begins to, you know, get absorbed. And this Braja Baba is so intense, you know, even Krishna himself, the question is he God or not? Is Krishna God? What do you mean by God? I mean, is Krishna Narayan? Maybe not. Some people say he's the incarnation of Vishnu. Yeah, because then we go beyond Gyan. Yeah, and now we come to pure bhakti, like that. You know, Radharani refuses to grow. Radharani refuses to know. She doesn't care. She doesn't want to know these things. You know, she has some other. She just wants to see if Krishna is happy, like that. It doesn't matter if we know who he is, like that. You know, we're concerned with his well-being, his happiness, like that. So it's a different level of existence. So that out of all the Rajabhaktas, of course, the gopis, you know, are the most intense, you know, worshippers of Krishna, and out of them, who's the most intense? Which gopi? Palika? Shama? Chandravali? Huh?
Chandravali.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I don't even want to hear the name Chandravali. Yeah. She's a cousin. Radharani! So there are arguments. Pushti Marg is also Rajabhaktas, but they take Yashoda's affection for Krishna is more intense than Radha's. You know, that the Vatsalya Rasa is more intense than the Madhurya Rasa. So we disagree. Now the people are followers of Chandravali, right? You know? And her mood is very submissive, like Rukmini. Even if Krishna mistreats her and he's talking to some other gopi, she won't like become angry at him. You know, she'll just like tolerate it, and she'll scratch the ground with her toenails and not say anything and cry. You know? But Radharani doesn't do that. Radharani just lets Krishna know what a rascal he is right off the top. So left and right wing gopis and different tastes and humors. So Chandravali's humor is superior in Dwarka as Rukmini, and Radharani's humor is secondary in Dwarka as Satyabhama. Like that. And that's all describing Lalita Madhava. Yeah. So any comments, questions? We discussed just about everything.
You mentioned about Raghunath Goswami said Raghunath Das.
Sadhana
bhakti is pretty process. Can you explain?
Yeah. So the husband comes home with his new, beautiful young bride, and she's sitting at the table writing stuff down. And you say, well, my dear wife, what are you writing down? She said, well, this is the deal. I'll give you 3 sons, but I want a new car every 5 years, 8 saris every year. I want a washing machine. I want to be... You think, well, this is love? But that's sadhana bhakti. Oh, Krishna, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this. You give me this, you give me that, you give me this, you give me that. Yeah. But you're not giving your spontaneous affection. Sometimes it just becomes immaturity. It's not actually because we're struggling to surrender. We're just, it's immature. We don't know things, neophyte pure devotees. But then Raghunuga bhakti is trying to be spontaneous. It's still sadhana bhakti, but trying to follow the example. You know, surrendering to accepting the example of these great devotees, not just following the rules and regulations and forgetting about it. And finally, bhava bhakti, then there's actually our real sentiments are coming, and then we're making the effort to stimulate them. So Krishna can, so we become enjoyable to Krishna.
Who are the followers of Chandra on this planet?
On this planet, I don't know if there's any sampradaya. I know one time we were in Vrindavan, actually Sakhistali is where Chandravali grows up, so they might be followers of her there. Because Vrindavan, still these pastimes are creeping through the cement, creeping through the asphalt. In Vrindavan, this is 90 kilometers south of Delhi, 164 square miles, Mathura Mandal. It's not a part of the material world. It's like the Italian embassy in New York or Washington, D.C. is not a part of the United States. If a police officer is chasing some thief and he runs into the Italian embassy, his authority's finished. He can go after him and request them to capture the guy and take him out, but he has no authority there whatsoever. He's not a part of the United States. So as soon as you come south of Delhi and the Grand Trunk Highway, when you reach Koshikal, the three modes of material don't work. The three modes of material nature don't work. Yeah. They may appear to, if you want them to, and they say, okay, if you want to eat German food here in the Italian embassy, we'll cook up something for you. You know? Okay, so if you want to enjoy material life in Vrindavan, Mathura Mandal, then they'll cook up something which looks like material life. You know, so you can get some business done in Vrindavan and make some progress. They're kind. But really don't belong there. You should go someplace else. And Krishna will arrange that. Yeah. So in Vrindavan, this you know, different Braja mellows and sentiments, Braja Bhakti is this, you know, kind of sticking out here and there. There's asphalt, but the grass is growing through the asphalt. And it's like that. It's just, if you're looking, you know, you can see it here and there, you know, in Vrindavan. So, in this world. So, there's so many pastime places in Vrindavan even still. For example, we went to Varsana. Our temple is in Ramanreti in Vrindavan. But then we went one time to visit Varsana. What's in Varsana? Yeah? What happened there? Huh? Yeah? Did she take birth there? No. She took birth in Ravel, which is down near Gokula. Then Krishna moved to Chatikar, which is near Vrindavan. And Vadimani moved to Basanti. Then Krishna moved to Nandagaon. And Radharani moved to Barsana. So later pastimes are there. And all the different acharyas established beautiful temples and, you know, to commemorate these places. And also to get close to that different sentiment, different humor. Like that. So Radharani, so there's many steps up to the temple, I don't know, 150 steps or something, it's a long, you know. So we were going up there, maybe like five devotees, brahmacharis and devotees from Vrindavan. And one little boy was following us, you know, from the village, and we're thinking, God, this guy's going to get lost or something. And so you better go home now. And he said, no, I'm going to follow you. And he said, well, hey, if you keep on following us, we're going to kidnap you and take you back to Vrindavan with us. Like that from Barsana. And he said, well, why would I want to go to Vrindavan? He said, well, you can see Krishna then. And he said, well, why would I want to see Krishna? He's just a lusty cowherd boy who keeps bothering our Radharani. So I, 4 years old, 5 years old, he already had this Radha, you know, Radha Bhava. And on the eastern side of the river, all the forests belonged to Balaram. On the western side, they all belonged to Krishna. And he had these different humors, you know, on the eastern side of the river, somebody may say, Dauji Kabaya. And you go, oh, Krishna Kanaya. Yeah. Who's the younger brother of Balaram? You have to say, Krishna. You know? Otherwise, they may grab you and start wrestling with you. Like that. And they're half serious, you know, fully serious, because they're Vrijbasis. They're somehow or other, without knowing it, and knowing it, they're absorbed in these different feelings. It's their last birth in the material world. Yeah. So there, you know, yeah, different pastimes are there. And Barsana there, Radharani is the queen, like that. You know, Krishna's her slave, right? You know? The other places, Krishna is the controller, and all the gopis have to submit to Krishna. So Sakistali is where, you know, Chandravali grew up. There's one village called Kechari. And that's where Putana was born. So we were there, and Radharaman was telling the pastime how Putana was born in this village, and, you know, in Rajmano Parikrama. He was telling it in Hindi, first English, and he told it in Hindi. And some old man was there from the village. He said, oh, no, she wasn't born here. She wasn't born here. So he said, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake like that. And then kind of nodded. Then in English he said, actually she was born here, and everybody in Vrindavan knows it, but nobody here will admit it. But there is this full of rasa feelings. So you may find, you know, that Chandravali's, you know, humor is there. Because it is, it's a part of the whole thing. It's just, you know, what good is a feast if everything is all sweets? You know? Yeah, so Vrindavan is full of all these different flavors, and Chandravali's flavor is, you know, Radharani admits that she's a very wonderful person. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's no question how much she loves Krishna. Yeah. So, everybody's willing to sell their houses and move into a small house, eat simple food, stick your hands in the fire. Yeah. Not too much, not too little. Whatever is my service to Krishna. You know? For example, how many saris is too many saris?
Two?
Two?
More than two.
More than two. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada says ordinary girl won't be satisfied with less, at least two dozen saris. You don't wear them, it's just you have in your closet. And it's just ladies, like, it's ladies' dharma to look nice, you know? To look nice and inspire their husbands by looking and dressing nicely, you know? Nature, that's a dharma, you know? All right, but maybe 150, that's starting to yeah. And it depends, too, if you're a kshatrini, and your husband has a very respectable position, he's head of the Gujarati Society of Houston or something like that, or, you know, he's running for Vice President of America or something, yeah, then you have to have you have to dress like the mayor's wife. You have to dress properly. If you're a pujari, your husband's a Brahmin, you need enough saris, you have clean saris to go on the altar. You have to be freshly washed. So according to your service, you've got to have different things, different kinds of equipment like that. Yeah? And then begin to regulate it. Okay, what do I really need? Yeah. My service to Krishna. Right? Yeah. And you're still a karmi, but now it's Krishna karma. Doing things in terms of Krishna. Cooking in terms of Krishna. And how to do that? Install the deity in the house. Cook for him. You know, it's his house. Right? And it's very easy to make this bodily concept of life be adjusted like that. Sometimes Krishna, I don't know where he is here. Sometimes Krishna gets the room underneath the stairway, right? Little closet there, like that. You know, no, it's his house. The master bedroom should be for Krishna, Radha. And maybe, yeah. Where does then? Okay, then I don't enjoy anymore like the master or the mistress, but I also don't suffer like the master and the mistress too. When my husband loses his job, I go to Krishna. We're serving you. You got to take care of this. You know, yeah. We're your servants. It's okay. I've already thought about that. I've already made the arrangement. Yeah. And it's a fact. You know, we're not talking about blind faith. Forget blind faith. Krishna should really reciprocate. Should really feel something. See, he's there. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's very simple. So. Fine. Questions or comments? Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. That's the essence of our yoga. And these intellectual things, they help to orient ourselves. But really, every morning and evening, take some time. Do some job, do some kirtan, chant some bhajan, you know, read from Ramayana, Mahabharata, these books, especially Prabhupada. Hear from self-realized soul every day. That's Socrates' conclusion. The final conclusion of all of Socrates' works. Every day, hear from a self-realized soul. Like that. And then by that process, you become free from all these things, always become happy, and you can help other people, you know, in the same way. Because right now, the whole world is just lacking philosophy. The philosophy now is too... Was it the movie Troy? I was in a bus to some place and had to watch this movie of Troy. And of course, it's the whole Western classic. It's the Iliad, I think. The Iliad? Yeah, the Iliad. And it's, you know, the most greatest of all the Western classics. And, just, and basically, they cut all divinity out of the thing, practically speaking, except as a joke. And it comes down to two options. One is Achilles, who is a typical playboy, who's you know, his thing in life is battling other men heroically, risking his life. You know, to win the battle and conquering women, and that's the two things he does in life, which make him copyable, amiable. Another guy is Hector, who's the ideal family man, who has a little baby and doesn't want to fight, wants to live a peaceful life with his family and see his kids grow up like that. But he's also a great hero. So in the end, Achilles kills Hector, and the playboy image is the supreme one, like that. You know? But that's just what it comes down to, the modern world. Be a playboy, enjoy these things, or okay, some people, decent material family life. You know, seeing your kids grow up and growing old and, you know, drinking wine and dying, you know. You know, most of your family. But there's no idea of transcendence. Not much. You know, very little of that. And so then they're frustrated because the soul demands that. So Lord Chaitanya made it very simple. Haranama, Haranama, Haranama Eva Kevalo, Kaloa Nasteva, Nasteva Nasteva, Gatiran Yata. So now, Krishna has arranged, Nimadangas have arrived. Yeah. No, kirtan. So, what's that? Kirtan. Okay. We expect to see your hands separate from your body by 3 inches. Tears coming from your eyes like torrents of rain.
Use group is here and the kirtan. Go ahead.
Can't sing?
For the program? Again, we have upcoming programs for Hanuman Prasad Swami Maharaj until Sunday, and we're going to distribute those flyers.
Some people got them already.
Okay. So tomorrow at the temple we have a program. Maharaj is going to give a PowerPoint presentation on Light of Bhagavatam.
Oh yeah.
And then Monday we have a program in the Gauranga Hall. Also. And then Tuesday, our Rice University. What time it is? Noon time is the Rice University. Maharaj giving presentation there.
At SMU, they're charging $25 a person. That's evening time, though, too. So here.
And then also we have a program Wednesday evening at my place, Thursday evening at Guru Bhakti Maharaj's house. And then Friday we have at Radhika Krishnanandan in Clear Lake, Durga Mataji, Brahmoksha Jalan. And then Saturday we have a gala program at our temple, 6 o'clock in Gauranga Hall. So we'd like all you to come to that program.
Maybe fire sacrifice too.
Right? Yeah.
Fire sacrifice.
Fire sacrifice.
And human sacrifice.
Yeah. And Sunday we have 2 programs. One in noontime. Kocham Chapel. And in the evening we have a program at Radha Krishna Temple on beach.
We are going to change the program a little bit because the youth are going to be doing kirtan for 2 hours and recording it. So you can participate, but we'll take prasadam first, then we'll do the kirtan.
Oh, at the same time?
Can we start while you guys are taking prasadam? Is that okay or not?
Well, they requested that we should.
Okay. What is the problem?
That we should take prasadam.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, that way it won't go so long.
Okay. Okay, so I'll just a little bhajan then before prasadam.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Tahi Ram.
Krishna Keshava
Krishna Keshava Krishna
Thank you.